Good evening, council members.
Good evening.
Good evening. Today is April the 13th, 2020, and welcome to a new wave of council meetings that looks like we may have for the next meeting or two because of the coronavirus. This is a telephonic council meeting. An access code has been given to the public. They have a different access code than what you all have. You will be able to actually participate in the meeting today. This meeting will be uploaded, and it will be placed on our website with all of our other meetings to date. I would, before we begin this afternoon, I would like to put a few rules in place or some procedures in place because this is new to us. So let's start off by let's talk about how we're going to proceed when there's a motion, a second, and so forth. I would like to ask council tonight that when you make a motion that you state your name. If you make a second, that you state your name. That's the only way the clerk is going to be able to actually know who you are, because she's not going to be able to recognize voices. After the motion has been made and second, I will call each one of the council members' names individually to get your yay or nay before the vote is actually counted. That is just one way that we're going to be able to know who's who and to be able to really have an accurate count of who said what and when. With that being said, it is now about 7:02. Madam Clerk, you're on the line. Would you call the roll, please?
The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis. The Honorable Linda J. Davis. The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Palin.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
Madam Mayor, the attendance of council constitutes a quorum. Please allow the meeting to continue.
Okay, Madam Clerk, also on the line is our city attorney. Is he present, Mr. Randy Turner?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay, so our city attorney is on the line also. Madam Clerk, we'll check back later and see if the Honorable Linda J. Davis comes on the line. In the meantime, someone needs to call and make sure she had the right access code to get in. The invocation tonight is going to be by Pastor John Colbrick, who's also an employee here in the city of Fairburn and also the director of Parks and Recreation. Pastor Colbrick, would you proceed, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Let us pray. Almighty God, from whom come every good and perfect gift, and who pours out on all who desire thy spirit and grace and supplication, deliver us when we draw near unto you. Father, we are praying a special prayer tonight, and that prayer has been created because of the fact that we are facing a crisis that we've never faced before. We pray seeking your holy presence in this meeting of the City of Fairburn City Council meeting. We pray for all of the honorable council members and the honorable mayor. We pray also for the first responders, because they have put their lives on the line, namely the police and fire and all medical personnel, and all support staff. We pray for the community at large, especially those who have been touched by this virus. Lord, we need you now. We can't do anything without you. Jesus said that without him we can do nothing. And we're asking, Lord, that you will give us the power of your hand to lead us and guide us, especially here in this meeting tonight, but especially for the healing of the people in the land. Deliver us, O Lord. Now empower these your servants to make wise decisions in their deliberation for the people of the city of Fairburn. We pray this prayer in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Davis is present now that I have the right access code.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Linda J. Davis. Madam Clerk, could you make sure that the records reflect that she's present? The next item on the agenda is the adoption of the City Council minutes. The first minutes is February 24th of 2020, the regular meeting and executive session minutes. Has Council reviewed the February 24th regular meeting and the executive session minutes?
Yes, Mayor.
Yes,
Mayor. Davis.
Yep.
Are there any corrections or additions to the regular meeting minutes?
I have none.
Okay, seeing none, are there any corrections to the executive session minutes of February the 24th? Seeing no objections. Is there a motion on the floor to approve? Please make your motion by stating your name.
I, James Whitmore, make a motion to approve the minutes.
Councilwoman Davis, second motion.
Okay, a motion has been made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Davis to approve the minutes of February 24th, 2020, the regular meetings and the executive session minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? I'm going to call the names. Are those opposed? Councilman Smallwood? Yay?
No, I'm not. Yay.
Davis?
Yay.
Heath?
Yay.
Porter Jones?
Yay.
Pat Talon?
Yay.
Mr. Whitmore?
Yay.
February 24th, 2020, regular meeting minutes and executive session are approved, 6-0. The next minutes are February 25th, 2020, emergency special call telephonic meeting. Is there a motion on the floor? Has the minutes been reviewed by council? And is there a motion on the floor to approve?
Mayor, it's March 25th. I think you said February 25th.
March 25th.
Yes.
Yes. March 25th, 2020, emergency special call telephonic meeting.
Councilman Whitmore makes a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, second.
There's a motion on the floor by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, your vote, please.
Yay.
Linda Davis?
Yay.
Alex Heath?
Yay.
Hattie Porter-Jones?
Yay.
Pat Palin?
Yay.
James Whitmore?
Yay.
March 25th, 2020, emergency special call meeting approved, 6-0. March 26th, 2020, emergency special call telephonic meeting. Are there any corrections or additions to these minutes?
Councilwoman
Davis. Okay. Councilwoman Davis?
I'll make a motion to approve the March 26th emergency special call meeting.
Is there a second?
Councilman Whitmore.
Second, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Motion made by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis and seconded by Councilwoman Hattie Portis-Jones to approve the minutes of the March 26, 2020 emergency special call telephonic meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood?
Yay.
Linda J. Davis?
Yay.
Councilman Heath?
Yay.
Councilwoman Hattie Portis-Jones?
Yay.
Councilman Pat Palin?
Yay.
And Councilman James Whitmore?
Yay.
March 26, 2020 emergency special call telephonic meeting has been approved 6-0. The last set of minutes on the agenda is March 31st, 2020, the emergency special call telephonic meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to the March 31st minutes? Seeing none, is there a motion on the floor and a second to approve?
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, motion to approve.
Councilwoman Davis.
Is there a second?
Councilwoman Davis. Second the motion.
Okay, March 31st, 2020 emergency special call meeting. The motion has been made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood and seconded by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood?
Yay.
Honorable Linda Davis?
Yay.
Honorable Alex Heath?
Yay.
Honorable Mahattie Portis-Jones?
Yay.
Honorable Pat Palin?
Yay.
Honorable James Whitmore?
Yay.
March 31st, 2020 emergency special call telephonic meeting. Minutes have been approved 6-0. Thank you all so much. Next, we'll have the adoption of the City Council agenda for tonight. There's an item that I would like to add to the agenda. You all have received a copy of it. And I want to add it as item number 13, and that's the City of Fairburn Pandemic Emergency Operations Plan. Can I get a motion on the floor to add item number 13 to the regular agenda tonight, and a second, please?
Councilman Heath, amend it to where we can add that one.
Okay. Is there a second?
Councilwoman Portis-Jones, second.
Okay. Councilman Alex Heath and Councilwoman Portis-Jones as a second to add the City of Fairburn Pandemic Emergency Operations Plan to the regular agenda as item number 13.
Yes.
Okay, the first item on the agenda tonight is under presentation. I'm so sorry that we're meeting the way we are tonight, and you actually cannot see Mr. Howard. We have an Andy Howard with us tonight with J.R. Bowman Construction. And Mr. Howard is the person who's going to be in charge of our fire station number 23. And what he's actually just going to give us tonight is just a short presentation of where we are right now and where we're going in our time frame. But Mr. Harvey Stokes, are you on the line? Harvey, are you on the line?
He may have the wrong access code, too.
Harvey's not on the line. Okay.
Mayor, this is the fire chief. You want me to try to reach him?
Yeah.
Yes, would you call Harvey and give him the right access code? I'm not sure why some folks got the right access code and some people did not.
That's a problem, Mayor. Mayor, on the agenda, we have the telephone number and an access code on the agenda that was sent in our booklet, and that's the one that I used, which is wrong. It was changed around 6 o'clock today at email. So that could be the issue. That was the issue with me.
Okay, and it's probably the issue with, and I'm hoping it's not the issue with our other participants, so I'm going to ask Erica if you're on the line. I need you to make sure Lester Thompson and Hardy Stokes, Tarika Peaks, all have this access code to get on and present. Tarika, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Mayor.
Okay, so we'll go to item number 2, which is planning and zoning, which is the announcement of the 2035 Comprehensive Plan 5-year update. Ms. Peaks, would you continue, please?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
This agenda item is really just an announcement of the 2035 Comprehensive Plan 5-year update. The DCA approved the city's comprehensive plan in April of 2015, and the plan was adopted by the mayor and city council on May 14th of 2015. And every 5 years, DCA requires the local municipality to update their comprehensive plan. And so we will begin our comprehensive plan update this month in April with some of our steering committee meetings. We have about 3 steering committee meetings scheduled, as well as 2 public hearings. Because of the COVID-19, we're doing some things a little different. We're doing our steering committee meetings. The first one we had a couple of weeks ago, we did those through Microsoft Teams. And we have one this week on the 15th we'll be doing by conference call. And so hopefully when we get to our public meetings, hopefully the COVID-19 pandemic, as far as the shelter-in-place order, will be over. And if not, we'll have to maybe reschedule those to when we can actually have in-person public engagement meetings. We have contracted with the Atlanta Regional Commission to provide assistance with staff to really take over some of the comprehensive plan 5-year update. And that's where staff, as well as the steering committee, will work closely with them to do the 5-year update. And some of the things that we will be updating in this 5-year plan is our community goals, our needs and opportunities, our community work plan, also reporting any accomplishments that may have taken place since the plan was approved in 2015. Also, DCA has required a broadband service element to the plan, so we'll be looking at that aspect as well. We'll be looking at land use, transportation, as well as parks and recreation. DCA has scheduled for the plan to be approved by October 31st of 2020. But because of COVID-19, ARC has reached out to me and stated that they will probably have to pursue a variance on behalf of the city. And I'm thinking that they may eventually extend the deadline past the October 31st deadline because of COVID-19. So there's really no action required tonight from the council. This just serves as an announcement to the public, stating that we are beginning the process of updating our comprehensive plan.
Okay, Council, you've heard the announcement of the comprehensive plan, the 5-year update from Tarika. Does any council member have any questions or any kind of comments to her tonight?
Yes, ma'am, I have a question.
Okay. Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Peaks, could you tell us who the committee members are and if they were members 5 years ago?
Yes. That's one of the ways I picked some of the steering committee members were people that were actually on the committee from 2015. We got some folks from the Planning Commission, the Downtown Development Authority, as well as staff. And those staff members are the directors that serve, that have plan elements in the comprehensive plan, such as parks and recs, water and sewer, community development, and economic development. So we do have some people that are on the that's on the steering committee now that was on the steering committee in 2015.
Would you provide us with those names, please? If not tonight.
Yes, I can.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Councilwoman Davis, I have a question.
Okay.
Ms. Peeks, the Atlanta
yes.
Regional Commission that's providing assistance for our update, is there a charge for that or is that free?
It's actually a free service. Maybe about 3-4 years ago, they began to provide free service to local municipalities for their comprehensive plan 5-year update. So it's a free service.
Great. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments to Ms. Peake concerning the 2035 5-year comprehensive plan update? Okay, Ms. Peaks, you're going to get that information to Councilwoman Porter-Jones and the rest of the council members that was requested. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'll do that tomorrow.
Okay, if you could get that out tomorrow, we'll appreciate it. Thank you so much. Are there any other questions to Ms. Peaks? Okay, it's now my understanding that we have Mr. Hardy Stokes and Mr. Andy Howard on the phone. We'll go back to the presentation of item number 1, which is an update on Fire Station 23. That's our new fire station, and he basically is going to talk to us about design built plus versus the design bid built. And I know there's going to be some questions concerning those two distinctions of building a fire station. So, Mr. Stokes, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Mayor, and I do apologize for that.
That's okay. It's not your problem.
So, first, I'd like to start off by saying good evening, Mayor and Council, and any audience that's out there listening. Name
good
is
evening.
Harvey Stokes. Good evening. I'm the Director of Building and Property Management for the City of Fairburn. And this evening, I have with me Mr. Andy Howard of J.R. Bowman Construction Company, and, of course, our very own fire chief, Chief Robinson, and we're hoping that between the three of us, we can give you an update on the process of trying to construct Fire Station 23, which is located off of Milan Road here in Fairburn. The city, of course, we use Chief Robinson's experience and expertise in filling the needs of the fire department for this station. Because with all his years' experience, I have no qualification whatsoever as a fireman, but the chief should know what his guys need, so I'm relying heavily on him to oversee that aspect of it. My function would be up to oversee the project itself to ensure that the structure is safe and sound and that we also stay within the budget, the given budget that y'all guys have allowed us. With your approval, I anticipate to construct a 9,000 square feet building under the roof on 3 acres right next to the Bedford School located off of Milan Road. It consists of 3 bays, kitchen, bunkers, exercise room, lockers, a couple of offices, one to house a police officer or two. The site includes employee parking along with public parking, a courtyard, and an outside storage building, and an on-site storm water detention area. Are there any questions so far? Next, we get to the choices of selecting the type of construction you guys want. As the mayor stated, we have a choice of going design built or design bid built. And naturally, because of the criteria that I gauge this under, my recommendation would be to go with design built. And to go with design build, Mr. Andy Howard, are you on board?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you give them a little information about your company and about the specialty y'all guys have with building fire stations, and we go from there?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Harvey, and Mayor and Council. I appreciate the opportunity to join tonight. My name is Andy Howard. I am with J.R. Bowman Construction Company. The president and owner of our company is Janice Renee Bowman. We're out of McDonough, Georgia. Been in business since 1981, and we've built several public service buildings and facilities over our years in existence. Recently, in the last, back in 2015, we built Henry County Fire Station in Locust Grove, and we had worked with our partner on this project, which is the Howell Group, Bill Howell. He's a key player and a partner on this three-legged stool. And we built that for Henry County, and that was a successful project. Then we took and did a design build for the city of Griffin, and it's the similar concept that I think that you're using on your rendering out of the site on 23 now. And I think Mr. Harvey and Chief Robinson has been down there. Then we've actually built that similar format, and we just CO'd it in Henry County a couple of weeks ago in Fire Station 8. And all three of these have come in under budget. On the design build, our goal is to work with the city and the fire department and work within their budget to design the facilities that meets their needs, establish a good budget, and then work with our contractors, architect, engineers, and the city to design and work and meet their needs and actually come in under budget. So we've been very, very thankful. The last two jobs has actually come in under budget, and we've been able to pick up a few additional items for that. I think we've spent some time over the last while with both Mr. Norris and Chief Robinson. I think they have come up to Fire Station 8 recently, and so we've got a lot of the behind the scenes figured out as far as areas that we can actually start working on design, which design build gets you further along from the bidding process. So our architect that we, like I said, partner with is Bill Howell with the Howell Group, and he's been a key factor in that successful relationship. And Bill's got over 30 years experience in building fire stations, so we rely heavily on him. So we've feel like we've got a good team, and we've enjoyed so far meeting Mr. Harvey and Chief Robinson, and I think we have an opportunity to develop a good project for the city of Fairbanks y'all to be proud of and come in under the budget that we can set forth. So, Mr. Harvey, think that's enough? Or, I mean, I want to cut it short. Yep. I don't want to talk too long. I could talk forever.
No, Ms. Howard, that's fantastic. One of the biggest reasons that I prefer design build this is because up front there's a unit cost that's probably about 6% lower than the design build. The construction speed is definitely faster. The delivery speed is definitely faster. And the cost growth is about 5% less than to be at the project and have someone to have to go through these contracts and monitor this stuff. But I chose J.R. Bowman because right now the wheel is already created. We took a ride over to Starbridge and looked at the last new facility he did, and if I could pick it up and bring it to Fairbanks, that would be the building. And I think, Chief, if anything you want to add to this.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, Chief Robinson, Fire Department. Like Mr. Harvey said, we looked at that fire station. It was well put together. Really liked the design, and I think it's something that we could bring to our community. That wouldn't take a lot of maintenance, or it wouldn't be, you know, difficult or time consuming to clean. It's a fire station that'll last us 50 to 75 years. I mean, most of us will be long gone when that fire station goes away.
And adding to that, I chose a company that I would like to go as far as saying specialize in fire stations. They look beyond the scope of just putting a building on the ground. They look at all the obstacles that we face. The first thing that these guys came up to me about was the land itself. It's old farmland. Their biggest concern was so we wouldn't have any hidden costs with the foundation to make sure we got a good foundation in place. So we already did the soil sample. Unfortunately, the rain killed us, and we had a big delay in that. We would have been coming to y'all guys earlier, but this rain that we had at the first of the year really set us back, and I can appreciate them because I ran into this kind of situation in Petrie City with the police department we built. We built it during a drought, and all of a sudden, next couple of years, we had underground springs that came up around it, so we had to put a foundation in, foundation drainage in to correct the problem. I never want to do that again. But we have paid close attention to this site. The site work has been done as for the samples, and I feel confident that we can build your fire station that all you guys will be proud of. With that being said, that's all I have.
Okay, Council, I'm sure. Well, thank you, Mr. Stokes, and also thank you, Mr. Howard. I'm looking forward to meeting you very soon. This is Mayor Hurst speaking.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I'm sure, Council, from the short presentation that we have just been provided, you have some questions concerning this 9,000 square foot facility over on Milan Road. The floor is now open for questions. I would like for Mr. Stokes and Mr. Howard to provide us probably tomorrow with some renderings so Council can kind of get a feel of what it's going to look like out and in, and we'll take it from there. So the floor is now open for council members with any comments or suggestions to the two that just presented.
Mayor, Councilman Heath?
Yes.
My question, Mr. Stokes, is what kind of construction will this be, like a Butler building, metal exterior, or will it have brick and mortar?
Good question, Councilman Heath. No, this could be brick. This could be brick and lap siding. The renderings I have in my office, and I'll have you a copy of it tomorrow, it is a beautiful station.
Wonderful. And what is the length of time that you figure it will take for you to start to finish, provided weather stays okay, to finish this up?
Mr. Howard, you might want to close your ears because I'm thinking by the end of the year.
Wow. I hope you're right.
Do I get a chance to respond right now, or do I need to wait?
Well, the thing of it is that we have a real good fire rating at this time, and I just think that getting that building in service is going to enhance our fire ratings to help people with their homeowners insurance. And so that I think that would be a great thing. And, of course, here again, you don't know how the weather is going to be. But that's one thing. And I'm glad to know that it's not going to be like an A-frame type Butler building, basically.
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
Thank you.
I have the utmost intention to make this one that other jurisdictions would be wanting to get one as well.
Great.
This is Councilwoman Davis. Before I ask my question, I just want to make a statement that I have the utmost confidence in the recommendations from Mr. Stokes in reference to the fire station. But my question is in reference to contract compliance. Are we required, Mayor, and I don't know this, that's why I'm asking Mayor and Council, are we required to bid construction on a certain amount, or can we go ahead on and select a builder that we feel comfortable with, as Mr. Harvey is doing? So my question is, are we required to do a bid for this in reference to the amount it is, or just the city doing its due diligence? That's my question.
I'm going to ask first for Mr. Harvey Stokes to answer this question, and then I'm going to ask Randy, and then I'll give you my answer to it.
Okay.
Mr. Stokes?
Yes, ma'am. It's a practice that's going on throughout the state. It's going on throughout most municipalities now. As Mr. Howard stated, the city of Griffin just did theirs, design built. Even the federal government is doing it. We actually got finding out that this is the way to go, to have that where you actually got control over it rather than someone else having control over it through the bidding process. This particular construction have control over their subs. That at the end of the project, you find that most projects that we go through, you end up with this pointing finger thing at whose fault we didn't get to this point. Design built cuts all of that out because at the end of the day, Mr. Howell is going to be responsible. And his job is to satisfy the city of Sheldon.
Okay.
Is Mr. Turner on the line?
Yes, Mayor, I'm here.
Okay.
Mayor, we have statutory authority in the state to conduct these sort of public buildings through a design build process, and we'll make sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed to make that happen.
Okay.
But there is statutory authority that's actually specifically in place to allow for a combination design build process for projects of this size and scope.
Okay,
Linda, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you Linda. Councilwoman Davis, did that answer your question?
I'm sorry?
Okay. I'm sure there are some other questions, and I do apologize that we did not get you all a rendering. And what I would like for us to do is probably, Mr. Stokes, is to take council out and let them see this fire station that we've seen and that we really like. I think that would help them a whole lot in visualizing that fire station over on Milan Road.
Sure. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I think you all would like to go out and actually, we can set up a tour so you can go out and actually look at it.
Okay, that sounds good.
And, okay, well, right now we got this coronavirus, so
yeah.
I'm not sure how we can do it right now because we can't rent a van and all of us get in it and go, so we'll just have to try to figure something out because we don't want to hold up the building of it because we're going to have to come back with you all with the actual numbers and the so you can actually see the design when we're all together. That's something that and we might have to do a virtual meeting. We might have to end up paying somebody to do a virtual meeting for us so you can actually see the diagrams and see the documents because the way things look now, I'm not sure if we'll be meeting in the next two meetings, person to person.
Mayor, this is
yes.
Councilman Whitmore. Question yes. for you: it's my understanding and listening to the presentation that Harvey presented to Mayor and Council that they visited the fire station that is, I believe, down in Griffin. Is that correct?
Yes,
that is correct.
Okay, and is it possible to have a virtual presentation of what they have there, and then we can actually see it without all of us going down to Griffin?
Yeah.
Record it.
That's no problem.
Yeah, and we can send it to everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that would be helpful, and that would help to move the process forward so when we're ready to start voting on things, we have a visual.
Okay. That's a great idea.
Okay.
Mr.
Harvey, I'm Mayor, this is Andy Howard again with J.R. Bowman. If you would like,
yes.
We throughout this process, we document with drone pictures, and we've actually schematic and rendering that we're saying for this site on Fire Station 23 is based out of Griffin, also out of Henry County Number 8 in Jodico off Stockbridge off 75. So I'll be glad tomorrow, the next day, to put you together a package of exterior photos, interior photos, some drone pictures, and then we can. And we have a GoToMeeting site with our company, and be glad to host a meeting if you like, and kind of walk you through the footprint and through the building of them.
That would be great. Yep, Council, are you in agreement?
Yes, I am.
Absolutely,
David.
Mayor.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, we'll do that. Okay, any more questions for either of these gentlemen before they get off the phone this evening? Okay, I'll be back in touch with you on tomorrow, Mr. Howard.
Okay. Thank you.
And
for
we'll
the
work
time.
Out the Thank logistics you. For us. Thank yes, you so much for presenting with Mr. Stokes to us tonight. Thank you again. Have a good
Thank
evening.
You. Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay. Council, we have 13 items on the regular agenda for tonight. The first six items on the agenda are ratifications. There are six ratifications on this agenda, the first six. The ratification actually means that these six documents have already been approved by me and signed. And they were all approved and signed by me. Randy reviewed them. I got his okay on those. We weren't getting into any trouble. We were okay with them. And they were signed by me due to dates and time constraints. We're dealing with GDOT on some of the contracts. We have some task orders on some of them, and then we were dealing with some CDBG contracts. And so they were all time sensitive, and we had not had a meeting. We had to get these contracts back in. I sent them to Randy. Randy approved them, came back to me. I signed them, and they went to GDOT, and they're in the process of being processed now. So I just wanted to bring these to you so that they can be ratified. Mr. Thompson should be on the line now, and he'll discuss the next nine agenda items, with the first six being ratified, need ratification by council. Mr. Thompson.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
As the mayor, number one.
Yes.
The first agenda item is for Mayor and Council to approve the ratification of the construction agreement with GDOT for the downtown LCI streetscape project. I do have a correction. The amount I said on the agenda item covered is $4,768,791.60. The actual number is $4,795,751.35. Of that amount, the base bid amount is $4,782,326.35, and that's plus the construction oversight amount, the GDOT construction oversight amount of $13,425. 80% of that base bid amount is reimbursable by GDOT, or $3,825,861. And the city's responsible for 20% of the base bid, or $956,465.35, plus the GDOT oversight cost of $13,425, for a total of $969,890.35 is what the city will be responsible for.
Give us that number again, Mr. Lester.
The total amount that the city is responsible for is $969,890.35.
And this is for the downtown streetscape.
This is for the downtown LCI streetscape project, correct.
Okay.
Just just getting into the brief history of it, we received the construction agreement from the Georgia Department of Transportation on February 24, 2020. The city was instructed to execute the agreement within the CAT system, which is the Contract Authorization Tracking System, using the DocuSign electronic system, and to send a payment for $13,425 to GDOT for oversight activities, with the understanding that once the department received the check for oversight, that the agreement would be executed and issued, and the city of Fairbanks would be issued a notice to proceed to construction. Since that time, we have received a conditional notice to proceed to construction from GDOT. This allowed the city of Fairbanks to, in turn, issue a notice of award to the lowest responsive and responsible bidder, which is Precision 2000, and it also allowed the city of Fairbanks to secure the pricing that they submitted in their September 18, 2019 bid almost 7 months ago. However, according to the GDOT conditional NTP, no land disturbance activity can take place until the conditional status has been lifted. Upon final receipt of the final amended contract between the city of Fairbanks and GDOT, the GDOT District 7 Construction Office will issue a revised notification. The pre-construction meeting will be scheduled for receipt of the full NTP, and the NTP will be issued to the contractor at the pre-construction meeting. With that being said, staff recommends that Mayor and Council approve the ratification of the construction agreement with GDOT for the downtown LCI Streetscape project. Any questions?
I'm a little this is Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a little confused. I was confused earlier, and I went to Ms. Jackson in finance, and she explained it to me, and I was, you know, I was understanding it at that time, but now I'm confused. And what she, and I think everybody has this, she sent out sort of like a reconciliation of both items, one through three, in reference to these numbers.
Correct.
Okay. So bottom line, she said on her sheet that the city of Fairbanks' responsibility would be $1,190,465.35. And that is the result of GDOT doing their 80%, and the amount that the city of Atlanta is going to reimburse us. She said that that was going to be our total cost less reimbursement and what we paid, the $13,425. So I guess I'm a little bit now.
Items 1 through 3 are interrelated, so
you'll
see that once we get to item number 3, that $234,000 will be added to that $969,000, which will bring us to that $1.1 million, that $1,190,465.35. So that's the total for those items.
For the total of the three agenda items, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I got you now.
Any other questions?
I have a question, Councilman Heath.
Yes, sir.
I was reading through there, and I saw where the city of Fairbanks would have to pay the total construction cost, and then would be reimbursed 80%, you know, from that bond that was floated, I guess. It was a grant that we got from the state of Georgia.
It's actually a federal grant from the Federal Highway Administration. We will be paid 80%, and the city will be responsible 20%. So the 80% is a federal grant that's distributed by the Georgia Department of Transportation.
But the way I read that was that the city would have to pay for it, and then we would be reimbursed 80%. Is that correct?
Yes. This is typically done on a monthly basis. So once we pay an invoice, once we have receipt of that invoice, we'll in turn apply for reimbursement on a monthly basis as the invoice is paid to the contractor.
Got it. Mayor, do we have the money to appropriated to pay for the total sum? I mean, right at $5 million.
Yeah, we have a little over $4,374,000 budgeted.
Okay.
For this project, so we have over $4 million already in the budget for it.
Okay.
And we're doing a mid-year adjustment for the remaining amount.
Right. Yeah, we're doing a mid-year adjustment for like $782,
right.
which is the remaining amount, yes. So
right.
It is budgeted.
Great. Yeah. Okay. That satisfies my mind then. Thank you.
Ms. Porter-Jones, do you have a question?
No, not at this time, Mayor. Other than, do you have a date for mid-year? Mid-year review? Budget review?
I don't have a date yet. I need to get with Ms. Jackson on tomorrow. We were just swamped here today, and I'll talk to you all a little bit later about some things. But I did get with her today, but I will tomorrow, so we'll have some dates so we can complete the mid-year.
Okay. And then relative to the LCI, what's the start date on this?
We're waiting on GDOT right now. So as soon as they get us back the executed construction agreement and they revise the NTP from a conditional NTP to a full NTP, we'll in turn issue schedule the pre-construction meeting with the contractor and move forward. We thought we would have had that by now, but with the coronavirus, they've been kind of working remotely themselves and haven't had face-to-face contact and been trying to move things forward through their administrative offices remotely. So it's taken a little bit longer than we anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I anticipated that. And then is there so the appropriation for these dollars, the 80% that we would be reimbursed, will that carry over from 1 year to the next? And is there a date certain on that, on expenditure of the fund?
Well, this project is a year-long project from the time of the NTP, so it would have to be carried over. A portion of it depending on what the construction amount, the remaining balance is at the time of the new budget.
And one last question, then. Are those dollars already in the state, or does the state have to get reimbursement from the federal government and flow then back to us?
No, the federal highway has already allocated the money to the state, so it's been
okay.
Allocated and authorized. Right. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, thank you.
No problem.
Are there any more questions concerning the ratification of this construction agreement with GDOT?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the ratification?
Councilman Heath, I provide that motion.
Councilman Whitmore, I second it.
Okay. There is a motion made by Councilman Heath and a second by Councilman Whitmore to approve the ratification of the construction agreement with GDOT for the downtown LCI streetscape project. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Council, let me just step back a little. Since there were no opposing, is it okay if we know there are six of you all there. Mr. Turner, can I just list the minutes to show that the vote was 6-0?
Yes, ma'am, I believe you can. I think if you get a motion and a second, I think you can just at that point ask if there are any objections to the adoption of the motion.
Okay.
And if anyone has would like to oppose the motion at that time, they could speak up. Or if they, for some reason, are not going to vote on the motion, they could speak up. But I think otherwise,
okay.
you got by consensus that there was a unanimous approval.
Okay. That vote carries 6-0 for the approval of the ratification of the construction agreement with GDOT. I'm looking forward to Streetscape, you all. I don't know about any of you all, but I am.
Yes.
I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Been waiting a long time.
I am.
Me. Mr. Thompson, item number two.
Item number two is for Mayor and Council to approve the ratification of the contract award with Precision 2000 Incorporated for construction services on the downtown LCI Streetscape project. The budget impact will be $4,909,319.35. The expenditures would come out of the LCI implementation grant account. 80% of the base bid will be reimbursed by GDOT, which is $3,825,861. 100% of the ad alternate will be reimbursed by the City of Atlanta Watershed Department, which is $126,993. The city will be responsible for $956,465.35. Just going to the history, the bid opening was conducted on September 18th. Three bids were received. The bid evaluation revealed that Precision 2000 was the lowest responsive and responsible bidder with a base bid of $4,782,326.35 and the overall bid of $4,909,319.35. The City of Fairburn received a conditional NTP from GDOT on March 13th. This allowed us to, in turn, issue the notice of award to Precision 2000 and secure the bid pricing in their bid on September 18th, almost 7 months ago. As such, staff recommends City Council approve the ratification of the contract award with Precision 2000 for construction services associated with the downtown LCI Streetscape project and authorize the mayor to sign the agreement for professional services for these services. Any questions?
Okay, there are no questions on item number two. The ratification of the contract award with Precision 2000 for construction services. Is there a motion on the floor?
Councilwoman Davis moves that we approve the contract award with Precision 2000 for our downtown LCI streetscape.
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, second.
There is a motion on the floor. It's been properly moved and second. A motion made by Councilwoman Davis and seconded by Councilman Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries 6-0. Mr. Thompson, item number three.
Item number three is for Mayor and Council to approve the ratification of task order number two with Atlas for construction, engineering, and inspection services on the downtown LCI streetscape project. The city has entered into a master services agreement with Moreland Altobelli on July 22nd, 2019 for on-call construction management services. The firm subsequently changed its name to Atlas Technical Consultants, LLC, on January 1st, 2020. The agreement with Moreland was approved with the understanding that task orders associated with construction management services would be issued on an as-needed basis. As such, task order number two has been submitted for review and approval. I do want to go back and just address the budget impact of this task order. The budget impact is $235,000. And it will come out of the LCI implementation grant account. This amount is less than $5,000 of the overall construction amount, which is typical for CEI services. And as such, staff recommends that Mayor and Council approve the ratification of task order number 2 with Atlas Technical Consultants for CEI services on the downtown LCI streetscape project and authorize Mayor to sign the task order for the amount not to exceed $234,000.
Council, are there any questions for Mr. Thompson concerning the task order number 2 with Atlas for the LCI project?
Mayor.
Yes.
Just one, Mayor. This is Councilman Whitmore. So you indicated when you looked at the budget impact, you changed it from 234 to 235, but then in the recommendations, you still had 234, but that should be 235 as well. Is that correct, sir? 235K?
No, it's $234,000.
Okay, thank you.
I said that amount is less than 5% of the overall construction amount, which is typical for task orders of that magnitude for construction projects of that magnitude.
Thank you.
Yes, council members, do you have any other questions for Mr. Thompson for item number 3? Seeing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the ratification of task order number 2 with Atlas for construction, engineering, and inspection services?
Councilman Whitmore, I make a motion to approve order number 2 with Atlas for construction, engineering, and inspection services.
Councilwoman Davis, second.
The motion has been made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0 for ratification of task order number 2 with Atlas for construction, engineering, and inspection services. Mr. Thompson, item number 4.
Item number 4 is for Mayor and Council to approve the ratification of the 2017 CDBG contract with Fulton County for the Lightning Community Development Study and the demolition of a blighted property on Dodge Street for an amount of $72,240. Fulton County has 2015 and 2016 CDBG allocations previously awarded to the City of Fairburn with a fund balance in the amount of $72,000, which can be used for the Lightning Community Development Study and the demolition of a property on the City of Fairburn's blighted property list. Both of these projects have already been completed. Approval of this ratification will allow the City of Fairburn to be reimbursed for these efforts. As such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the 2017 CDBG contract with Fulton County for $72,240. Any questions?
Are there any questions?
Councilman Heath, question. How many properties are we going to demolish down in the Lightning community? Do you have any idea?
I don't. I'd have to defer to Director Stokes on that, but we've done quite a bit, and I don't know if Director Stokes is still on the line, but he'd have to answer that question.
Okay. I'll contact him later. Thank you.
We've done about 7, Councilman Heath. To date, we've done about 7, and if I'm not mistaken, my last conversation with Mr. Stokes is there are 2 additional ones that we're looking at demolishing in the next 30 days. The reason that we haven't done them was because of the rain.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to add as well, too, that Habitat for Humanity has also done a couple of them recently to add to that.
Great.
Okay. Are there any other questions concerning the ratification of the 2017 CDBG contract with Fulton County? Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
Councilman Heath, so moved approval of the 2017 CDBG contract with Fulton County.
Councilman Whitmore, second.
Motion made by Councilman Heath and seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries to approve the ratification of the 2017 CDBG contract with Fulton County. Before we move ahead, Mr. Thompson, you want to tell them about the grant that we just got from CDBG last week?
Yes. Last week we just secured a grant for $200,000 for the 2020 CDBG contract. So that contract will be coming your way here shortly. And it's for Core Robinson Phase 2. We're excited about that project. We're thinking about doing some expansion to the park associated with that project and completing a project that we started that we kind of held off on because we were having some issues in the past with reimbursement for Fulton County. But with the new administration, we now feel confident that we can move forward and be fully reimbursed on any efforts moving forward.
Awesome.
Congratulations. Mayor, I have a question.
Yes.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones, Mayor, are those the 2020 grant that you received, is that a result of the major discussions with the Fulton County Commissioners about whether they, you laugh.
Yes.
Okay, so can you tell me what's the status, are the two related, and if not, what's the status of that discussion?
No, it is related. In fact, we had another conference call with Chairman Pitt along with seven other cities. They had a little over $1 million, and the last meeting that I had with them, with Chairman Pitts and the Chief Financial Officer, myself, and some other cities like Union City, East Point, Palmetto, we went to see him. They asked us to give them what we needed in that grant for CDBG. I think less than a week later, we provided them with our documentation, and they have since dispersed that $1 million-something that they had. And Fairburn was able to get the $200,000 of that $1 million. So that is a part of the discussion with Fulton County, the monies that they were thinking about sending back to the Fed.
Great job.
That's fantastic.
Great job.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And have they decided what they're going to do next year or in the future?
They have not. They have not. The rumble in the jungle is that Fulton County likes to keep the monies in their accounts and get the interest off of it before they make any full decisions on what they're going to do with it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the rumble in the jungle. So we're just happy we got that $200,000, and we'll just continue to work with them with any other CDBG monies that they have out there. Commissioner Pitts has been conciliatory lately, and his finance folks are on board. And I just think it was a lot of it had to do with personnel. They didn't have the personnel to do it, and which is no excuse. You don't send money back because you don't have anyone to work that office. But that's the case with them. And after we cities put some pressure on them, then they decided to bring some people in and disperse that money. So we've gotten 200 of it, and I'm glad about that.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
One thing I want to add, Mayor, though, with that project and one of these next year coming along, they all have to be completed by October 1st. So I just want to be
That's
fully
correct.
Transparent. So we're going to be moving in rapid pace to try to complete all these projects by October 1st.
All which projects, Lester? Can you clarify that?
The 2020 project and the next two projects that's on the agenda.
Oh, okay. All right. Awesome.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Let's move on, Lester, to item number five.
Item number five is the Mayor and Council to approve the ratification of the 2018 CDBG contract with Fulton County for the Dodge Street Utility Relocation Project. Fulton County has allocated $162,487 in 2018 CDBG funding to be used for utility relocation in Dodge Street. We're going to use these funds to relocate the power poles on Dodge Street from Adelhold to West Kelmington Street so we can install sidewalk in relation to the next project. So as such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the ratification of the 2018 CDBG contract for $162,487. Any questions?
Councilman Heath, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I was noticing that the amount for this, the 2018, is the same as the one for the 2019 and number six. Are these related?
One is for the utility relocation, so we can do the 2019 project. So they're related. One project has to take place before the other project can take place. But, but the funding amount is identical for both projects. That's correct.
Identical.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Are there any other questions to Mr. Thompson for item number five, the 2018 CDBG contract with Fulton County?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing none, is there a motion and a second on the floor?
Councilwoman Davis.
Please.
So move to approve the ratification of the 2018 CDBG contract with Fulton County.
Councilman Heath, second.
A motion has been made by Councilwoman Davis and seconded by Councilman Heath for the ratification of the 2018 CDBG contract with Fulton County. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Mr. Lester, the next ratification, which is the last one.
Yes, ma'am. Agenda item number six is for Mayor and Council to approve the ratification of the 2019 CDBG contract with Fulton County for the Dodge Street Pedestrian Improvements Project for an amount of $162,487. We're going to use funds for this project to install a sidewalk on the north side of Dodge Street from Muller Street to West Kelmington Street, and also install some retaining walls because of the topography in certain locations. And we also plan on installing pedestrian lighting as the budget allows. With that being said, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the 2019 CDBG contract for Fulton County for $162,487. Any questions?
Seeing that there are no questions, is there a motion and a second on the floor for approval of the ratification?
Councilman Whitmore recommends approval of the 2019 CDBG contract with Fulton County.
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, second.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? That motion carries. Item number six on the ratification of the 2019 CDBG contract with Fulton County. Mr. Thompson, item number seven.
Item number seven is for Mayor and Council to approve the 2020 T-SPLOS Pedestrian Improvements Project contract award with Construction 57 Incorporated for an amount of $182,250. The invitation to bid was advertised on February 5th, 2020. The bid opening date was February 28th, 2020, at which time seven bids were received. After completion of the bid evaluation, it was determined that Construction 57 Incorporated was the lowest responses and responsible bidder with a bid price of $182,250. Staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the 2020 T-SPLOST Pedestrian Improvements Project contract with Construction 57 Incorporated at a bid price of $182,250. Any questions?
No questions from council. Is there a motion on the floor? Is there a motion and a second on the floor?
Councilman Whitmore.
Councilwoman Davis.
Recommend the approval of the 2020 T-SPLOST Pedestrian Improvements Project Contract Award.
Councilwoman Davis, second.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Davis to approve the 2020 T-SPLOST Pedestrian Improvements Project Contract Award. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries. 2020 T-SPLOST Pedestrian Improvement Project Contract Award. Item number 8, Mr. Thompson.
Item number 8 is the Mayor and Council to approve the 2020 LMIG T-SPLOST Roadway Improvement Project Contract Award with C.W. Matthews Contracting Company Incorporated for a bid amount of $1,157,669.90. The 2020 LMIG grant award of $202,561.60 has already been received from the Georgia Department of Transportation. Approximately $955,108.30 will come from proposed T-SPLOST resurfacing funds, for a total budget impact of $1,157,669.90. The invitation for bid was advertised on March 4, 2020. The bid opening date was April 3, 2020, at which time 7 bids were received. After completion of the bid evaluation, it was determined that C.W. Matthews was the lowest responsive and responsible bidder with a bid price of $1,157,669.90. As such, recommends Mayor and Council approve the 2020 LMIG T-SPLOST Roadway Improvements Project Contract Award to C.W. Matthews Contracting Incorporated. Any questions?
Any questions from council?
None for me.
Seeing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the 2020 LMIG T-SPLOST Roadway Improvement Project?
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, motion to approve 2020 LMIG T-SPLOST Roadway Improvement Project Contract Award.
Councilman Whitmore, second.
And the second is by whom?
Councilwoman Davis.
Okay. There's a motion and a second on the floor. The motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood and seconded by Councilwoman Davis to approve the 2020 LMIG T-SPLOST Roadway Improvement. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries 6-0. Mr. Thompson, your last item, item number 9.
Item number 9, the Mayor and Council to approve task order number 3 with Atlas Technical Consultants for construction engineering and inspection services on the 2020 LMIG T-SPLOST resurfacing project. We entered into a master services agreement with Moreland Orthodelli on July 22, 2019. The firm subsequently changed its name to Atlas Technical Consultants. The agreement was approved with the understanding that task orders would be for construction management services would be issued on an as-needed basis. As such, task order number 3 for said services have been submitted for review and approval. Staff recommends City Council approved task order number 3 with Atlas Technical Consultants for CEI services and the roadway improvements on various city's road projects, and authorized the mayor to sign the task order for an amount not to exceed $55,000. $55,500. Any questions?
Seeing we have no questions, is there a motion and a second on the floor for item number 9, task order number 3 with Atlas Technical Consultants for CEI services?
Councilwoman Davis moves to approve task order number 3 with Atlas Technical Consultants for construction, engineering, and inspection services.
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, second.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Item number 9 is approved 6-0. Task order number 3 with Atlas Technical Consultants. Thank you, Mr. Lester. And let me just say to Council that so many of these came before you from Lester tonight because we did not have a Council meeting in March. And we just, all this stuff just backed up and we just had to get it out. We were just at a point we had to move forward. So I do thank you all for ratifying these 6 contracts. I do appreciate it. Please know that I will never sign anything if it's not an emergency or if it's not time sensitive and we can't get together. So thank you again.
Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome, Mayor.
May I speak?
Yes.
Relative to the work of these contracts from Mr. Thompson and the comprehensive plan update that Ms. Peek spoke of, the fact that we are going to be required to address broadband issues, is there a way for us to assess how we might lay broadband, for lack of another word, downtown, given that the streetscape project will be undergoing and we will be digging up the road. And that would save us money in the long run in terms of having to lay cable or fiber optic or whatever it is that we're going to use. Could there be a separate review and just look at what that possibility might be and how we might take advantage of the work that's being done on the streetscape project.
Mr. Thompson, is there something that you can look at and we can report back to Council?
I most certainly can. Let me take a look at it, get with staff, and I'll just report back within a week. Is that sufficient?
Fantastic. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you again, and thank you, Ms. Portis-Jones, for that suggestion. The next item on the agenda is item number 10, and it's from Parks and Recreation, our Parks and Recreation Director, Mr. John Culbert. Mr. Culbert, are you there?
I'm here, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor and Council. We would like to recommend to the Mayor and Council to approve a rental agreement with Mr. G. Pat Green for the use of 129 West Broad Street for the City of Fairburn Youth Center for use on a databasis as well as event parking. The amount that we've agreed to with Mr. Green, again, is the same as we had last year, $500 per month.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Council, do you have any comments for Mr. Culbert concerning this new lease agreement? it would actually go into it actually is in effect now. So we're parking over there, and we really don't have a lease with him right now. That lease ended on March 31st, and this one, the new lease, is April 1st, and it's for the same amount as Mr. Colbert said.
No questions.
Are there any questions? Any questions to Mr. Colbert?
No.
None.
Okay. Is there a motion and a second on the floor to approve the contract with GPAC Green for $500 a month for the parking across from the youth center at 129 West Broad Street?
This is Councilman Whitmore. I recommend approval.
Councilwoman Davis, second.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Davis to approve the rental agreement with GPAC Green for 129 West Broad Street for the City of Fairburn Youth Center daily and event parking in the amount of $500 monthly. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Mr. Colbert.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
The last two items on the agenda tonight is from our fire chief, Chief Cornelius Robinson. The first one is for Mayor and Council to approve the Target Solutions software training packet, which is item number 11.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
All right. The fire department is requesting approval to use budget funds in the 1920 FY budget to continue the contract with Target Solutions. This is our training module for the fire department. It keeps up with our training records, and it keeps up with fire department personnel, certifications, and what have you. And it's also reviewed by the ISO evaluator during a recertification visit. The training contract is a yearly contract, and we're asking Mayor and Council to approve the contract for $5,070.44 for our one-year contract with Target Solutions.
Council, do you have any questions for Chief Robinson concerning the Target Solutions software training packet?
Nope.
None.
Okay. May I have a motion and a second, please?
Councilman Whitmore recommends approval, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, second.
Okay. Councilman Whitmore made the motion to approve the Target Solutions software training package, and Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood made the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. We still have another one. The next item on the agenda is also Chief Robinson for Mayor and Council to approve the purchase and installation of air and light unit for Air Light 22.
Mayor and Council, the fire department is asking for the approval of the purchase and installation of the cascade system and light tower for the Air Light 22 vehicle. This unit was gifted to us by the electric department for the purpose of creating the mobile air unit. This unit will serve to the purpose of illuminating dark emergency scenes by the use of the light tower. And it also refilled our self-contained breathing apparatus, or our air packs, during major fires. And it also served as a rehab for the firefighters during severe hot and cold weather. This unit will also allow us to assist the police department when lighting up crime scenes and accident investigations on the interstate and roadways. The three bids that we had, the lowest bid was $26,080. This is a budgeted item, and we are requesting Mayor and Council to approve this item for purchase to complete the air light unit.
Council, do you have any questions for Chief Robinson?
Yes, Mayor. This is Councilwoman Davis. I have a clarification for our Chief Robinson. I noticed that one of the three bids was from Fireline, and his quote, he had a total quote here of $24,122, but however, you received an email from him, and my question is the amount in the email, should they be added to his quote that he made on April 6th? It's why he was not the lowest bidder.
Yes, ma'am, and I cleared that with Mr. Bob and Fireline. They added the fees for the installation and the $500 for the light tower requirement to run the AC.
Okay.
Wiring, yeah, was added to the total price of the installation. So that caused it to increase to the total.
Right.
Yes.
When I added up those figures in the email, I added them to his quote on that day, so he was more than ever. I just need a clarification on that. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments to Chief Robinson concerning the purchase and installation of the air and light unit?
Nope.
Okay, is there a motion and a second?
Councilman Whitmore recommends approval, ma'am.
Councilwoman Davis, second.
Motion made by Councilman James Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0 for Mayor and Council to approve the purchase and installation of the air cascade system and light unit for AirLight 22 in the amount of $26,080. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mayor.
Chief Robinson. Thank you. The last item on the agenda is item number 13, and it's the City of Fairburn Pandemic Emergency Operations Plan. I think all of you all have received a copy of the final plan that was prepared by this office along with the fire department. Police department has some say-so in it, and also HR. And I'm really happy to say tonight that Councilwoman Portis-Jones did some sections in the plan for us also. And so I want to thank you, Councilwoman, for stepping to the plate when we were up against a time frame to try to get something out because of this pandemic. Does Council have any questions or comments? Or I'm sure that at some point we're going to have to go back in and make some additions, corrections, and all of this. But at least we have something that if we have to shut down the city and go into an emergency mode that we can work from, and that's what we was looking for.
I just have a comment that the plan is very concise and informative, and you guys did a great, great job on it.
Well, thank you, Councilman. I'm Mayor Pro Tem.
Mayor, I have
yes.
Maybe a couple of observations, and I, too, want to commend the work. I know it took a lot of work to pull this together and to commend everyone that assisted in this. It's a great document, but I do have some questions or clarifications, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. On page 10, we are listing our city departments and essential employees, and I just want to know, how do we define essential employees is one, and two, if they are determined to be essential employees, do they need to physically be at City Hall to work? And how do you make that determination for them not to be at City Hall to work?
Okay, well, let me tell you that GMA has sent out a document to all cities, and I'm not sure if you all received a copy of it. I'll be more than happy to forward a copy of it to you. When the pandemic hit, GMA felt like they needed to give us some guidance, the city some guidance on who we could consider essential. So we have a whole list of folks that they've listed. And so we went through the list. One thing that we decided here in City Hall was that our department heads are essential people. So we knew that our department heads were essential in order to keep the city going, even during the pandemic. There were other folks that's listed under our department heads who were essential. We knew that the police department was an essential component of this plan. Also, our fire department. But not just them, there are others. Our sanitation department, we still had to do sanitation. So we went through a list that GMA actually gave us, and I'll be more than happy to forward that information to you on tomorrow. And that's how we went through the list.
Okay. And is it a requirement, if they are essential, that they have to physically be at the location, City Hall, or could they do their work if they can?
No. Okay. No, it's not essential. It's not a requirement that they have to be on site.
Okay.
But they have to be available. They have to have some sort of communication with the command center if we go into an emergency mode. And that's why right now we've been this week, last week, week before, we've been so busy ordering laptops. My assistant Jessica on Sunday ran all over town looking for laptops. A lot of stores are out of them. We had to back order. So, you know, Fairburn has never had a telework policy, never. And so we're trying to get that in place now. So with the new laptops coming in, we got department heads who can stay at home and work, and other critical departments personnel that can stay at home and work, like our CID over in the police department. They basically have been working from home unless they have to go out on a case because where they work is in such close proximity to each other that they are not 6 feet apart. And so we had to send them home, and they had to use their laptops and work. So they don't have to physically be in City Hall or at the command center, but they have to be available, and they have to be where they can come to City Hall and do some work, just like HR. They have to come into City Hall. April has to come in to do payroll, or you won't get your check every 2 weeks. Neither will you, Mr. Smallwood, Mr. Palin, Ms. Portis-Jones. You won't get those checks every 2 weeks. If April can't come in the building to actually get on the system because we're not allowed to do certain things from our systems at home. And so even with me, I can't come in and I can't do any banking from my house, even though I'm connected to the Fairburn server. I can't. I come into the office and use the system here if I'm going to do any banking for the city of Fairburn. So there are guidelines that we have to follow. There are certain people who have to be in the city if there is a emergency plan in place.
Okay.
And so that's how we decided. And I'll send you that list tomorrow, but it's a two-page list of how you go through it and you decide who your essential workers are.
Okay. Let me first go through my email because I know I've received a lot of emails from GMA or Georgia Cities in reference to different things. Did it come in an email or was it a special thing that was sent, a special packet sent to the mayors?
Well, actually, I got it today. I got it from, not today, I got it from our employment attorney.
Okay.
He's been working with us, and so I got it from him. But I will send you the link, and you can print it off. It's a two-page document.
Okay. All right.
And so we're also working with our employment attorney as to who can come to work, who we have to pay. Okay. You know, there's a lot that we don't know right now with this pandemic. You know, people can claim federal FMLA now.
Okay.
If they can't come in. So there's a lot that we're having to deal with that we've never had to deal with before. And so we're going basically with our attorneys. We've been talking to Randy. I sent Randy some emails on Friday, he and our employment attorney. And I'll let Randy speak to you in just a second about, you know, just what we've had to work on just in the last day or two over the weekend with this pandemic and employees designated to come to work. Randy, do you have anything to add to this?
No, ma'am, I really don't. I think Mr. Bean was very helpful in helping pull that together. And just to echo what's been said already, Mayor, you and Ms. Johnson, I think, did an excellent job of honing in on just how we could have the right employees at the right time at the right place, and do it in a fair way that complies with the applicable laws that that Mr. Bean had discussed with all of us.
Yeah.
Well,
Mayor,
I'm sorry. Okay.
You go ahead and finish.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I really would like to commend you all, and it's nice to know that we do have an employment attorney that we can go to ask questions, because this pandemic moves. It is very, you know what I'm saying, and then you have instructions coming down from federal government on changing different things to accommodate employees who may not be able to do certain things and whatever. So I just commend you all for having that resource, because I really want to make sure that we're doing the right thing with our employees in this really difficult situation that we're in. So I commend you all that you are the resources that you're utilizing to make sure that we are, you know, being fair and equitable to our employees. So thank you.
And if I might add one further thing, this is Randy again. You zeroed in on something there, Councilwoman Davis, that, it's not to sound flipping at all, but, you know, we are in many cases having to make some of this up.
Right.
And it is it's a moving ball, it's a developing situation on a, you know, sometimes day-to-day basis.
Right.
So, I'm very happy that you all engaged Mr. Bean back in February, or it might have been January when we did that, but that was a good move, and as all this developed, you know, within just a few short weeks after we did that, so it is interesting to say the least, I think we're doing a very good job of staying on top of the developments and building in, you know, hopefully the flexibility to move when we need to move, when we need to do something different.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Councilwoman Porter-Jones?
Yes, Mayor. I just want to add that this really is a moving target, and it is changing hour by hour, and we really are learning along the way and trying to figure it out. But one of the things I think either as an SOP or as an update to this manual is to talk about safety procedures as well as our procedures for working from home or telephonically. because we need to document that so that we know how we're responding to working from home. Some of the things that you've stated, Mayor, that you can't do at home, those kinds of things need to be documented. So I don't know if that needs to go in this document as a subset to it or a separate document. But that's the additional work that needs to be done relative to this manual.
Okay, thank you. So
I
agree.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I've noted your comments. I can't promise you anything in the next couple of weeks, though. I tell you, we're swamped here right now. I got so much stuff going on, but we will get it done, okay?
I appreciate that. I mean, just to help alleviate some of the concerns that have been expressed. So that, people know what it is that is truly being done to protect our employees and to ensure that we are protecting the resources of the city.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Mayor.
Councilman Heath?
Yes, ma'am. Do we need to vote on this Second Amendment to the emergency ordinance dealing with the paid?
Yes, I'm bringing. No, I will talk about that. Yep, that's probably the next item that I'm getting ready to talk about.
Okay.
Okay, I haven't forgotten. I got a couple of things here on my desk. I'm still in the office, and I'll bring it up as soon as we finish this.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Were there any other comments concerning this pandemic emergency operations plan that we've put in place? Can I get a motion and a second that we adopt this plan tonight for the city of Fairburn?
Councilman Heath, so moved.
Councilman Whitmore, second.
Motion made by Councilman Heath and seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The Pandemic Emergency Operation Plan passes 6-0. Thank you so much. Mr. Heath.
Yes, ma'am.
You asked me a few minutes ago about the emergency ordinance that's put in place concerning the hazard pay for our essential city employees.
Yes, ma'am.
If I'm not mistaken, Randy, when we did the first emergency ordinance, I think that emergency ordinance allowed you and I to create and bring to council any additional ordinances that we saw fit that will fit into this pandemic issue that we have going on. Is that correct? Because I have the ordinance before me. Randy
yes.
has signed off on it, and it's our plan to put it in place this pay period. So, Randy, would
Wonder.
You speak on that? Because I don't think
yes.
this has
yes,
to be
Yes, ma'am. In the
council.
Original adoption of the emergency plan, we did include a section that permits the mayor to mayor and consultation with me and others that she absolutely needs to make certain changes to that ordinance to adapt to changing conditions. I do understand as well that that this particular one, I think, was discussed with council before it was put into place, and it ended up being the hazard pay ordinance did evolve twice, as you all may have noticed. But that was the purpose of that section being added to that emergency ordinance on the first time that we had the telephone meeting and elected to put it into place. We to the extent that there'll be other changes needed to this emergency ordinance, it is hard to say. It's like everything else. It is evolving. It does seem we've gotten, we've gotten our feet wet in terms of conducting these kinds of meetings, so it might be easier, and it might be literally easier to do this in the future. The mayor might agree with me on that. I think that if we can do some of these things this way, as opposed to having to for her to make a lot of phone calls and speak with people and act pursuant to that section. But yes, there was a section in the originally adopted emergency ordinance that permitted these kind of changes for the evolving circumstances.
Well, the reason I was asking that is that according to this document that I have, it was ordained this ninth day of April, and so I didn't know because we had discussed the other previously, and it had to be signed by the mayor and attested, of course, by the city clerk. So that's the reason I asked that question.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and council, just want to make sure you all do understand that our police and fire department employees will get $500 a month, $250 each pay period, and all other employees who are identified as essential would get $250 a month, which is $125 a pay period. We've been working today in the office, so all of these employees who in the police and fire and our other essentials are getting this in this particular check that's coming out on the 17th. The money, we were able to find the money. It's within the budget, so we're not taking it from any place else. We have some positions in the budget that are not going to be filled at this time, and so we just went in and took that salary and the fringes from that. So we're good. Even if this has to go for another month or two, we still will be good in paying these employees.
Okay. Great.
Mayor, could you just state for the record, this is Councilman Portis-Jones, just state for the record the date certain that we have in the document and that if it goes beyond that, that will require another action. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Ms. Portis.
I don't want to say. I thought I saw April 30th was what I thought I originally I remembered. And then given now the recent order by the governor to extend the shelter in place until the end of May, that date may have to be revisited.
The
original emergency order that was adopted on March 25th had an effective date. It was put in place until April 9th, though, so you're correct, unless sooner repealed or modified or extended. We may want to add that to the agenda. That's a good pickup on that that original emergency order, March 25th. I think we originally said, and this was prior to, as you pointed out, Councilwoman Jones, this was prior to the state of Georgia enacting, you know, a further extension. We may want to consider tonight adding this as an item to be extended for some period of time, and I'm not sure what that might be appropriate to. We may want to extend it through the end of April, it feels like. It did provide for about a 2.5 week period to begin with, because I think at the time that's kind of what we might look like for a minute.
So, Mayor,
would you want to consider a motion at this point to we might consider a motion just to make all of this a little cleaner, is to we entertain a motion of council to adopt the emergency ordinance, to extend the time frame of the emergency ordinance as it's been revised. You know, it has been revised with, there were those two amendments. One of the amendments was to recognize the state of Georgia's action that was taken. That was the first one, and then the second one was to put in the hazard pay. So we might want to, at this point, consider a motion to extend the emergency ordinance as it has been revised to some certain date, if you all think you have a date in mind for that. It certainly looks like the end of April would be appropriate at this point.
Well, we look at that. We look at the end of April, and then we go back, because the governor has actually done the state of emergency until, what, May 13th or May 15th? So we might want to go through at least the end of when the governor is extending his state of the emergency, I would think.
Isn't
yes,
that the language we could use to just be consistent with the executive order from the governor?
Yeah, I'm trying to locate.
Mayor and Randy,
yes.
Is
yes,
there
ma'am.
Some terminology? Because this is going to be moving, and it depends on a lot of other different situations. So he may even move that May 15th to May 30th or move it to June. Is there any kind of terminology that we can use that it would roll over whenever the government, the governor makes another emergency declaration for a future date, instead of having to go back and you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For extension.
I agree, Councilman Davis. That's exactly what I was recommending to be consistent with the governor.
Yes.
So, this is Councilman Whitmore. So, Randy,
yes,
with the authorization that the mayor has been given, okay, and when the governor extends anything, whether it be the emergency, whether it be pandemic, whatever the case may be, then the mayor should have authorization to go in and make those changes, and really doesn't have to come back to council as long as it mirrors what the mayor is doing. Is that not correct? What the governor is doing. Is that correct?
That would be fine. It'd be a fine way to approach it. You know, we don't have a total lap over of the two orders. And, you know, I'm just looking at the governor's order, in fact, right now. I'm not sure if the governor has taken any additional action since April 2nd. Is anyone?
Isn't it attached to the pandemic emergency? Isn't his order attached to that document? I think it is.
I'm looking at the
order. I thought there was a recent one, like the last few days when he extended it to the end of April. But that's a new order.
Well,
yeah.
my suggestion would be to extend the city's emergency ordinance to match that date. If you want to, I hesitate for us to try and come up with language that will make sure that it complies with the governor's executive orders, because the governor may issue multiple executive orders. I mean, he could issue orders that are less than the full orders he's already issued. So I'm a little hesitant to endorse the idea that we can come up with some language that would just work for the next few weeks and be tied to whatever action the governor takes. My suggestion would be if the governor has passed or issued a new executive order to, is it May 13th? Is that what I heard?
Yes.
If that's the case, I would suggest that we just vote at this point to extend this emergency order until May 13th. We will be having another one. I'm assuming we're going to have another one of these meetings at least and this month, and maybe at the beginning of May as well. I'm not sure if we would meet before the 13th of May. I'm looking at my calendar. We would have a regular scheduled meeting of council on May 11th now.
Mm-hmm.
Be evaluated at that point for sure if we don't have to reevaluate it before then. So my suggestion would be that we extend the city's emergency ordinance to match that date of the governor's extension to May 13th.
Okay.
Any other comments? Okay. So is there a motion on the floor to extend the city's emergency order to reflect the governor's executive order?
Talon's saying that we go on with what the governor has to say.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm saying that we would
vote at this time to extend the city's emergency ordinance to the date of May 13th.
Right.
Okay. Councilwoman Davis, are you ready for the motion, Mayor?
Well, yes, let me rephrase that. Councilman Whitmore had made the motion. Let me rephrase that. So
okay.
There was a motion on the floor to extend the city's emergency order.
May I assist?
To May 13, 2020.
Councilwoman Davis seconds.
Okay. A motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That motion carries 6-0. So this emergency ordinance for the hazard pay will actually go into effect. It's already in effect, but employees would receive this money on Friday.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Before we get to council comments real quick, I got a couple of things that I just wanted to make you all aware of, and that is that Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Harold Melton, has extended the March 14th declaring the statewide judicial emergency to May 13th. So our municipal court is closed until the morning of May 14th right now. They may extend it again, but right now we're closed until May 14th. We still have staff working in municipal court who are extending court days and just trying to get everybody back in June and July right now. So we do have staff working in municipal court. They're locked in. No one can get into a municipal court building during the day other than staff.
Okay.
Okay. I want to make you all aware of that. The other thing I wanted to make council aware of is the occupational tax deadline was April the 15th for the city of Fairburn. I today extended it to May 15th, allowing a lot of our businesses to pay their taxes without a penalty. they're coming in, but they're coming in slow. And so don't want to put in a hardship on them. And so we've extended that to May 15th. And Wendy, who works with occupational tax, and she works out of the police department, sent an email to everyone on today who have not paid their occupational taxes for this year and informed them that they do have until May 15th.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Question?
I was trying. Yes.
Councilwoman Portis Jones, there was an original date established for no disconnection of utilities. Has that been extended?
We've extended that, and I think that date was April, if I'm not mistaken, was April 15th. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not really sure, but we have extended that date. So we're not going to cut off. We're not cutting off anyone for any reason.
Right.
Okay. And mm-hmm. and I'll check with Devontae tomorrow morning to make sure it's out on the website. We're open in City Hall from 9 to 1 every day. The ladies are here accepting payments, new service. We're still getting new service. A lot of people are moving into Brookhaven right now. That's mm-hmm. new subdivision
yeah.
by Durham Lakes. So we're getting new service requests. We had several in today, and they're still coming in. And so the ladies are here. Right now, it looks like our revenue for from April 6th, last week, was a little down. We only collected about $296,000 last week. Compared to the previous month, we were right at about $380,000. So our revenue is down, and we expect it to continue to go down. But we're still in a good place right now.
Good. So that I'm clear, you said April 15th, which is day after tomorrow. So is that going to be lifted then, or are you extending that?
No, I'm extending that. Just like the occupational tax, it was supposed to end on April the 15th. I extended it today to May 15th, and 15th. I will do the same for the cutoff.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Great.
Okay, those were all of my announcements. That's what's going on here in City Hall right now. We are open every day. Some staff comes in and they stay half a day. Some staff, the street department, some of them are coming in at 8 and they work to 12. And then we have another group that comes in at 1 and they work to 5. So we're trying to scatter them around so they're not together. We have our ladies over in utilities. They're still answering the phone. They're still answering customer service requests. They're still taking orders for pickup. And so we're still doing as much as we possibly can. Let me just give you this really quick to let you know our employee who passed in the police department, her service, they will have viewing on Friday at Murray Brothers on Cascade. The service will be on Saturday at 12 o'clock, and they're going to stream it live on Facebook.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
We did send a large fruit basket to the family last week. I will send flowers from the City of Fairburn and Fairburn City Council for the service on Saturday.
Wonderful. Okay.
Mayor,
okay.
That's
all I have.
Are we still doing, this is Councilwoman Davis,
Are we still doing the health protocols, checking temperatures and stuff as employees come in? Oh.
Yes, we are. We're doing it in all departments, including the street department. Chief Robinson, I don't know if he's still on the line or not, but he's delivered the – okay. Tell her about the thermometers that you delivered to all departments.
Yes, ma'am. We've been able to acquire some thermometers for every department, and we implemented a program where they are screening all the employees when they first come to work in the morning, and we document them, and then they'll forward them to, I think it was Jessica. Are we forwarding them to Jessica?
In HR. They're going to HR.
Oh, HR, okay.
Yes.
All right. And so that's still going on every day, and everybody's still taking precautions with hand sanitizing and cleaning the areas every hour, every other hour.
Okay. Great. Great job. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, let's go with council comments tonight. We'll start with you, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
I do want to say we are operating in a new normal, we're learning from this, and hopefully we'll learn how to operate better as a result of it. But I want to express my heartfelt sadness and condolences to the loss of our employee to this virus, the impact that it's having on the other employees, on us as a city, her family in particular. It is happening so fast all over we've got to be diligent and persistent in making sure that the employees are protected and that we are monitoring all of them, and continue to reach out to Ms. Caplone's family in their time of need. End of my comment.
Thank you, Councilwoman Portis Jones. Councilman Palin?
On a more cheerful note, so to speak, curiously enough, I was coming back from getting gas today, and I drove by Frankie Arnold's house coming home, and her son Alfred was helping her up the steps into the house. So I stopped, said hello, we chatted for a couple of minutes, and Frankie doesn't really remember too much anymore. But she's 90 years old, for those of you who know her, and for those of you who are listening in, who have been around a long time, she's 90 years old and still going strong. And it brought a smile to my face. I just thought I'd share that with you.
Thank you, Councilman Palin. Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Uh-oh. Hear me? Can you all hear me?
Yes,
now we can.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, but I just want to highlight our public servants, because they're the real heroes right now as we go through this. And in particular, on top of Corona, we had that storm that blew through the city last night. And I emailed Mayor and Chief Robinson this morning, but just want to publicly recognize our fire department, because I had to go in my safe room at 2:30 last night because all of a sudden the power went out and a tree fell down behind my home, which actually covered Highway 74 at the Renaissance Festival entrance. But no sooner than I got out of the closet, I hear chainsaws out there buzzing and cutting up that tree. I'm like, who is that? So I looked out the window, and sure enough, Chief Robinson and his crew were out there making sure that that roadway was clear. And it's just always amazing just to see the expertise and the excellence that our public servants work in. And so I just wanted to highlight the fire department last night, because they were out in that mess ensuring the safety and drivability in our roads in Fairburn.
Thank you,
Mayor Pro Tem. Thank you so much. Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say a great thank you to all of our employees, all of our department heads, everybody that is working through this pandemic, coming to work and doing your job and doing the essential things to keep running the city. I just want to just say thank you so much for that dedication. That I pray for our city, and I pray for our mayor, I pray for our employees every day, because I know this is hard. In addition to doing your work, you have to be concerned about your health and what you touch and don't touch and all that stuff. So I don't take that for granted. I just want to let you know that I appreciate what you do and how you do it. And I'm here to assist in any way that I can. So I also want to send my condolences out to our employee that transitioned as well. Just keep doing what you're doing, and know that what you are doing is being recognized and appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Heath.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to applaud our employees. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to applaud our employees, and especially our senior staff people. Who, you know, without you guys and ladies, as well as the fire department, the police department, and all, we just couldn't make it without you. The street department, utilities, especially dealing with our electrical services and everything. I had lights flickering this morning. I think it was about 3 o'clock and everything. I didn't know that there was a storm anywhere except just loud claps of thunder and lightning. But the thing of it is that it's those people that we have that is dedicated to our city and everything to get out of their nice warm beds and go do things that ordinary people don't do. And so my hat is off to them. I'm glad to see that we are giving additional monies to those people in those jobs. They really need it. And one last thing is really a question. GMA in June, have you heard anything whether they're going to cancel that or not?
Well, they're giving us until May 15th before they give a final decision, but I would think that they're going to cancel.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to find out about that. Thank you.
Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I want to echo what some of my colleagues have already mentioned about the young lady that passed in the police department. Of course, our prayers are directed towards her family. And also, I would like to thank the public of the city of Fairburn. You know, as you all know, I'm from the East Coast, and I watch our governor, the governor up in New York, and I think he's doing a great job. And just watching what's happening in New York, where there's no movement whatsoever, and then thinking about how our citizens are taking this sheltering in place seriously, and we just want to make sure we do not spread this virus. This virus is deadly. I continue to pray daily for our citizens in the city of Fairburn. Also, I'd like to thank all staff the city of Fairburn for the job that they have been doing through these tough times. And I also continuously pray for our mayor, for her leadership and her guidance in working with our staff and working with council so that we can all make it through this together. And just going to continue to pray. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman Whitmore. And it's going to be very short, so that it's just about 9:20, so that we can get out of here. To the Sherrod Catron family, we send our deepest sympathy, the city council and the city of Fairburn and your coworkers. We know this is a hard time for you, but you're in our prayers. All those out in telephone land, Thank you for joining us tonight. We hope to see you very soon in our council chamber here at 56 Malone Street. We have missed you. This distancing is not working for me, but it's what we have to do. I thank the council for being so supportive. I thank all the employees here in the city of Fairburn who work with me every day to make sure that we do the job that people expect us to do, even during this pandemic. And with that being said, we are not having any executive session tonight. So is there a motion on the floor to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved.
Councilman
David.
Okay, motion made by?
Councilwoman Davis.
Councilwoman Davis and second by Councilman Heath?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, this meeting stands adjourned at 9:20. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.